Hi everyone, welcome to the very first episode of the Idea Castle podcast. I am your host, Will Anderson, and today I'm sitting down with an old dear friend of mine, Brad King. I'm going to ask him some questions about life and see how he got to where he is today, and just discuss some history that we've shared. So, hang in there and enjoy.
Can you get some fluffy?
Oh, yeah.
Can you get some fluffy? You get some fluffy.
Look how fluffy I be.
You get some fluffy.
Straight up.
All right, bud. I'm sitting here with my buddy, Bradley King.
That's me.
D-Rad. And we've been friends since like 7th grade. We moved up here from North Carolina to Baltimore. And lots changed. He's got married. He's going to have a kid, which is crazy.
What? I have a kid?
Well, why don't you start off telling me, I don't know, tell me how you got to where you are in life right now.
Where I am in life? Like, spiritually, or?
Just like,
what got me to this point, sitting in this room with you right now?
Yeah, exactly.
So we moved here in September of 98 as 18, I don't know. Were we 18 or 19?
19.
19-year-old dummies, not... Actually, you were 19. I was 18.
Is that right?
September? No, because your birthday's November.
Yeah, because I would have been 20 in November.
Okay, anyway. Pointless part of the story. But basically, the way I look at it now, you know, back then you don't think about it that way, but now I'm like, we were just dumb kids from a small town with no real future plans. I mean, like, we didn't see ourselves going to college. At least I didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't really know what we were going to do. I think all we knew at the time is that... Are we cursing during this thing?
That's fine.
All we knew at the time is we like to get fucked up and play music. I mean, that's the bottom line. And we were in this band, and it started with us playing in your basement, and then it progressed to an actual band where we played, like, one real show. And
real quick, my mom... When I was talking to my mom when I was down there a couple days ago, she was like, "How's Earl doing?" She was talking about you and me and Courtney. She's like, "Y'all doing pretty good for yourself." It's like, "Yo, dopey." Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, you gonna do? The mom's not stupid. She knows what the deal is.
Of course.
Smoking doobies in the basement. Oh, we were looking at a spider. Yeah, right. Okay, anyway. So we were in this band, crazy, screamy, rah-rah music. And in all honesty, the whole Baltimore thing came into play because our singer's girlfriend... in Wilmington was
Laurel,
bro. Started to go to school at Goucher College. And he, you know, in his persuasive ways, convinced us that it would be a good idea to move to Baltimore. So we moved to the ghetto, like literally the ghetto, Greenmount Avenue in Baltimore, for any Baltimore people that know that. And it was a culture shock, to say the least. And over the course of the next, I don't know how long, couple years, we played countless shows and basements and drunken debauchery and getting lost in the city and crazy stuff like that.
I was pretty, like, when we moved here, like, my excitement of something new, like, totally outweighed my sorrow of leaving.
Yeah, me too.
Which was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think about it now, and I'm like, if I never left that town, I would either be on some sort of constant need for drugs, or I would be working at a hog farm, or something equally as terrible.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Nothing against that, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, not really how I would ideally see my life. I guess I felt like there was something better for me,
mm-hmm.
and not saying that, like, I'm above anyone who does that for their life is, but knowing what I know now about the world, getting outside of that town, I'm really grateful that we were stupid.
And there's still so much more life that we haven't gotten into.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, yeah, it's definitely a difference.
So, you know, we did that. And at the time, for me, I don't know everybody else's views, but I just kind of assumed something would fall into place with music.
Uh-huh. Right?
And I just assumed I'd be some sort of rock and roll dude, I guess.
Right.
And, you know, I realized quickly that... there's a Green Day song, I think it's Welcome to Paradise.
Uh-huh.
It's like, "Dear Mother, can you hear me laughing?" It basically like goes through the thing about moving out, and
uh-huh.
then at first you're freaked out, and then you're okay with it. Like, you know, it's a very interesting song. It kind of summed up my whole Greenmount Avenue experience.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, let's see, what happened after that? I moved out before any of you guys because I couldn't take it anymore. I moved in with a buddy in Bel Air, which is like night and day from moving to from Baltimore City to Bel Air. So that was kind of cool. I had my own room in an apartment, central AC. It's pretty sweet.
I'm sitting around dealing with craziness. I'll just say that.
I hated to leave you behind, man, but I had to do it, you know?
Hey, it's all good.
And, I mean, we were still in the band when I moved out, and we still played a gazillion shows. And I don't know how much detail. I mean, I could talk for hours about to where I'm at right now, but basically...
So, you moved to Bel Air.
Yep.
You know, hanging out with me, dude.
Yeah, man. Bit.
And, it's talking about that dude you guys were talking about. I'd sit and I'd stare. What'd he say?
It was a demo that they were my roommate was trying out singers for his metal band, and they had this like old 4-track recorder, and they were auditioning this guy, and he sent them this tape over the song. So they sent him the music, and then he recorded and sent it back to him. And it was this really heavy, you know, like riff, and this kid is just screaming. He's going, you can tell he's just sitting there in his room, like has no content, but he wants to show him he can scream. So he's like, sometimes I just sit there and I stare and I stare at my feet. I mean, like on and on about shit like that. It was hilarious. But anyway, eventually the band disbanded for various reasons. And, interpersonal relationships within the band. You know, we had some good, like, success for that type of music. We opened up for some pretty big underground bands. You know, we knew the guys in Lamb of God and,
you know, did you see that?
What's that?
Randy got detained in Prague for manslaughter.
What?
Let me tell you the story. Relax. Let me tell you the story. Apparently, like, they played there in 2010. And there was some dude in the crowd that kept trying to rush him on stage. And, like the security guards held him back, I don't know, 2, 3, or 4 times. But one time he got past the security guards and got out there and Randy pushed him.
He fell.
And because of complications, he fell and he died. So when they got to Prague to play this show, they detained him.
Wow.
I think the latest I read, he's he's getting out on bail of like $200,000. But he's eventually going to have to go there for trial. But it's not looking... I don't think it looks too bad, but still.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we, you know, we played with those guys and then like Dillinger Escape Plan and all kinds of other bands. I can't even remember all of them now. Killswitch Engage. But a couple members left the band and then the rest of us decided to go on, and we got additional members. You know, when you do that, it's never the same. So we went on another tour with a band called Canderia, and soon after, I called it quits. After that, I was like, I can't do it anymore. My heart's not in it. I wasn't feeling it. And I'd start to write and play other kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I had started jamming together a little bit on softer stuff, so.
I realized that, like, honest to God, man, like, that, like, going from place to place and all that shit, that's not for me, man. I mean, it's cool to travel.
No, I'm right there with you.
I'm not fucking Alex sleeping in a 100-degree van.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos.
See, I thought that was what I wanted to do. And maybe it was when I was, like, super young. But with the last band that I was in. So, okay, the last band. After Cass broke up, me and Will started playing stuff. And we posted an ad on Baltimore Bands and started this other band and called Silent Film. And it was more, I don't know, you can look at it. It's on iTunes or whatever. It was more mainstream kind of rock, like Green Day-ish sounding singer maybe. But anyway, we did that for a while. Will left the band and then we replaced him and went on to do kind of cool stuff, open up for Third Eye Blind, Vertical Horizon,
so,
and played a gazillion shows.
So let's see, this one in young lady moved up here and you guys were quote unquote madly in love, or
oh,
so it
great.
Was at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that was how it went.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, things kind of faded out.
My brain omitted that from the entire story. Yeah, after we were here for about, 6 months or so, and then she moved in.
Oh, no, I'm not even talking about her.
Oh. Oh, wow. Maybe that happened a couple of times for me.
Bradley pulled bitches from North Carolina like they pulled me from the Union Hall.
I don't know how that shit happened, man. Just all of a sudden, they were up here, and I had to deal with them.
Good
move. No, we'll get back to that later. But I played in that band for a long time, a few years, and we had some pretty decent success. You know, we were like getting flirted with by labels and stuff like that, and never really panned out. And right at the the end of it, my singer decided he wanted to move back to Utah. So anyway, we tried to carry on after that and tried out people, and it didn't work out. So anyway, long story short, I decided that it was a blessing, because the whole, like, getting to a show at 5 o'clock and not playing until 11, it's a huge chunk of time. And even when you get to where you're making decent money at it, it's still not enough to live unless you're, you know, touring with a national band and you get some kind of crazy start. But it wasn't for me either. And, I will always love music. I will always write. I will always play music. But until I'm, like, 50 in my terrible cover band at a local bar or something, like, I don't think I'm going to play in a band
setting. Dude, the coolest thing for me is, like, you know, when things started happening with me and changes and whatever, and I stopped playing, and I was like, oh my God, you know, this has like been the only focal point in my life, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was like one of the hardest things I ever did.
Yeah.
But then, like, as time passed and, like, I don't know, maybe I started to get some sense about life, I realized I went and jammed with some people a couple times. I'm like, dude, it's not the whole like band thing and all that that's awesome. It's like the having fun and doing.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I can do this at any time.
Yeah. It's the, you know? It's the creative outlet of it, and the whole,
it's fun.
Yeah. when you get to a point where you're trying to succeed in that industry, you realize quickly how ridiculous it is. And
yeah,
you know, my viewpoint has changed completely. So I think when I was around the time we moved here, I was like, I was on my way to greatness, I guess you would say.
Well, yeah, and we all are.
And then at some point, I realized that I was at all right. You know, like on the way to greatness, you stop at all
right. Right.
And sometimes you don't get any further than all right.
Yeah.
And that's
all right. But that's growing up sometimes.
It is. And then your own all rightness turns into your personal greatness. Yeah. So what may not be great for somebody else who is like in a band now and thinks they're going to be a rock star, I'm so happy with my life right now. It's like unbelievable. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, okay, we played in that band, moved a couple times. I'm not even going to mention the girls.
Yeah, that happened. then you, let's see, the band stuff was going, and you and I kind of parted ways for a little while just because of just dealing with life.
Right.
And then...
parted ways, not like we didn't like each other. Yeah. Just like our circumstances were way different.
Things are changing. What is our bond here?
Yeah.
Basically.
It's like our whole existence, our whole relationship was like getting jacked up on weed or whatever and drinking and playing video games. And then it was that music. So when we didn't have that, it's like,
okay,
we had to really like reestablish our relationship, I guess.
Yeah, it's like,
I guess that sounds gay, but it's not.
Yeah, it totally does sound gay, but it's totally true. Like, it's like, okay, you know, you hear people say, it's cliche, like, you know who your real friends are. And you really do, like, things play out like that.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that went on, and you met up with Jun Lin at some point.
Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about that.
Okay,
without being too crazy.
I don't want to say, like, where I work, in case this is, like, multi-casted or whatever.
Yeah, that's cool.
I work for a multi-billion dollar company, global company.
It's a box.
But, yeah, it is a box. That's all I'll say. But I met her in said box. She was going to nursing school at the time, and I was technically, I think, her manager's manager. And no funny business then, because, you know, I'm all about the rules and shit. But she transferred departments, and, like, I was working in that department, just sitting in there, and I saw her her email ID on the computer. And I just sent her, like, hope you're enjoying the new department. Welcome to the wonderful world of blank email. That's the dogs in the background. It's okay, guys. You'll get your turn interviewing next, all right?
Good.
And, I emailed her, and she emails back with this completely, you know, non-professional, I think you're cute, you know, schoolgirl thing. And then from there, it progressed, and we ended up dating, and, I don't know, 4 years after I proposed, and a balcony at Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, played a little song and sang it, and she said yes, and we got married in June of 2010. We got married and built a house in the same year, which is kind of ridiculous. And
and the dogs don't like to go in the basement, crazy. So I'm back.
Yeah, he tried to sneak away and put the dogs in the basement. They
anyway.
They're too smart for that. But she ended up leaving the company. Obviously, she was just there while she was in nursing school, and now she is a dialysis nurse. And I am still with the company in a different different location. And, yeah, we are expecting our first child in December.
That's crazy, dude.
It is crazy. And it's just like, I don't know. I guess when I was younger, I would think of like growing up as something that, you know, it is a state of mind and all that kind of stuff. But considering where I was 10 years ago to now think that I am a committed husband and a family man, it's like, it's wild to me. I'm so excited. I'm like, I'm nervous, but it's
awesome. I think the best part of it is you're in this position and you're happy about it.
If that happened to me 10 years ago,
yeah,
like pregnancy, uh-huh, I'd be like, oh God.
Okay, the dogs are trying to hump. Stop it, puppies.
Dogs just got spotted.
I was talking to a buddy of mine last night. He's like, I don't know, 45-ish. He's gotten married, had a kid or two, divorced. You know, he's been through some things. And he was telling me, he's kind of confiding in me about how it was to, like, when he got married to his wife and when she got pregnant and they had a child. And he was like, I mean, I've heard it before, you know, and it's crazy. He's like, man, when you hold that child that looks like the both of you, he's like, that's like looking at God.
Yep.
I was like, whoa.
Well, I think the crazy thing for me is, I've heard that too. I think you realize the power that you have as a human being, like, you know, to create a life.
Dude, there's a person here.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And I can't kill them.
Yeah. Like, we were just at the doctor, and we, you know, heard the heartbeat for the first time through Doppler. These dogs are driving me nuts, man. Sorry. Heard the heartbeat through Doppler, and you know, it's not like your classic heartbeat where you hear, like...
It's like a Doppler radar kind of thing, right?
Right. And you know, it's 150 beats per minute. So I was like, what are you, pregnant with a hummingbird in there? it was cooking, but you get that realization that, like, oh my God. And I said, there's a person in my wife.
I know,
like, that's
right?
Weird. And then, you know, we're reading like the weekly updates of the progress that the baby's going through, like forming fingernails and smiling and frowning and kicking. And it's just weird, man.
Yeah, dude.
It's like, it's cool and weird at the same time. And everybody is like, oh, your life's gonna change now. You'll never get any sleep, dude.
Yeah.
And like, I get all that. Whatever, dude. It's all good. We'll figure it out.
It's a journey.
Yeah, it is. And like, a lot of people talk about how, you know, relationship changes once the baby comes and XYZ. But I firmly believe that there are a lot of people who had no business getting married to start with. And I think that like the reason I waited, I don't want to say so long, because a lot of people get married at different ages, but in my family, I've seen, you know, my mom and dad got married when my mom was like 18.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the divorce rate in my own family kept me at bay. So I've been in situations, long-term relationships, where I could have easily, you know, popped the question or settled. And I'm so glad I didn't, because I wasn't ready personally and it wasn't the right person.
Right.
So I think that's one reason I waited so long. Yeah. So long, meaning, you know, I was 30, I don't know, what, 31?
Yeah.
Like that. But yeah, that's pretty much. And we're now sitting in my loft at the house doing this interview, and the dogs are driving us crazy, and life just rolls on.
So, are you guys gonna find out if it's a boy or a girl?
We are. That's the next visit is, I think like 5 more weeks from now, and then we'll find out. And some people want to be surprised and stuff like that. And our brains just are very meticulous, and we need everything planned out, like color of the nursery,
right.
You know, registering for stuff.
Well,
but I think if we have a second child, we may decide to be surprised by that one. But
what do you have a preference?
I do, because
you need a boy.
I am the last male king in my family.
Oh.
So I would love to have a boy. And I joke around because you know, obviously we're from the South and I'm Southern.
I'm from the South. I want some spur.
And my wife is also from the South, but she's from the South Pacific. She's from the Philippines, so I always make this joke, like, our baby's going to be awesome, like this little hybrid. It's going to be listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd and eating rice. It's going to be amazing. Can't wait to teach it crazy stuff it shouldn't learn.
So wait, what's your choice? A boy?
A boy, because of the whole king name thing.
Right, right.
But in all honesty, man, like, we want to have more than one, probably, depending on how we get through this.
Right.
But if it's a girl, it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, she'll baby it up and dress in ridiculous things, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she will.
But you'll be Uncle Will, you know?
Yeah, right.
And not just to dogs. That's exciting. But, you know, we're going to have two dogs and a baby, and it's going to be pretty three-ring circus-ish in the king house. So this might be the last interview we ever do. I might never see you again. No, I'm kidding.
Dude, she, I'm just thinking about how she dresses up Annie. And now, Molly Marl here, the dogs.
Yep.
You can only imagine what a child's going to look like.
I'm kind of scared for
her. Poor kid.
And there's this thing in Tagalog, which is my wife's, like, native language. So she came here when she was 7. So, I mean, she's grown up very American in the way she speaks, but she also speaks Tagalog. And there's this thing where it's called gigil. And it's like, best way I can describe it, there's no like literal translation, but it's overcome with excitement where like you're so like engulfed in the moment that you need to physically hurt the person that's making you giggle. Like, like she'll look at Marley and just go, oh, I love you. And she'll bite his ear. It's that.
It sounds like some weird sexual shit.
It does sound kind of weird, but it's more like, like she, I could easily see her biting the baby's arm. Like, you know, like getting excited. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, she would never like,
well,
you know, bath salt style. But she's just crazy like that.
That's good. Funny.
God love her.
So let's see.
Look at this asshole.
What do you think? Okay, you guys have this child. Okay, in a year or two, and things are going on. You said that you might want to try to have another child.
What, potentially.
But if, like, as far as, like, life goes, are there anything that, like, you kind of, like, see down the road that, like, I'd really like to get into that one day. Maybe not today, but, like, down the road.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at this guy.
That's not, like, super duper crazy rock stardom, but, like.
Yeah, I mean, I have a very entrepreneurial spirit, I think, and I always am coming up with these ideas, you know, to capitalize on something. I mean, I eventually would like to start my own business, either using June Lynn's creativity to, and then me doing the marketing and business part of it, or
she's fucking creative.
Man. She is, dude, and you know, or to come up with some sort of other idea. I've read books, and you know, I know all the legal stuff, and it's probably going to happen at some point. My ideal situation is that I'm working by like age 50. I'm somewhere like waterfront, working on a laptop in my boat. I mean, that's really the goal.
Right.
I don't know what that will entail or if that will happen.
Well, anything in between is great, too.
But you have to dream.
Because,
you
know? Yeah, because life is good now.
It is.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But that would be, I mean, you think about that, that would be kind of cool.
Did you ever watch that documentary? I finally watched it last night. It's called The Secret.
Mm-mm.
Well, I heard a lot of people talk about it, and when I started watching, I realized I'd heard about it before. Basically, The Secret is like, it's basically positive thinking. Like, the idea is whatever you think about, whether it's positive or negative, you attract like things. So, like, if you're sitting here thinking about, you know, not getting bills in the mail, you'll probably be getting bills in the mail. But if you're thinking about, you know, something silly like getting random money, you know, and like the things that you focus on in your mind, like, supposedly attract things in the universe.
Yeah.
And they break it all down to like, you know, from the universe to like a cellular level, and like basically we're all energy, and it gets all crazy.
No, but that's interesting, because I feel the same way about negativity, because
yeah.
I know this guy right now who, man, talking about like a shit storm. I mean, every negative thing that you could think of happening in life has happened to this guy.
Right.
But instead of either
looking it lives at the, like a bunch of people, right?
Yeah, it's terrible. Like, either instead of looking at the bright side, it's constantly, well, can't wait to see if the sky falls on me today. Mm-hmm. But that kind of way of thinking seems to be, I don't know, perpetually bad luck for him.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of digging that got him to that point.
It almost is like it ties into kind of, I don't know, the extreme version of that is that, you know, whatever you set out to achieve in life, you can. And, you know, you hear celebrities or athletes say that all the time. And I think that that's great to have drive and vision and ambition, but it's also not realistic for everyone. Like, not everyone achieves their dream.
You can't be the fucking president.
There's this thing on NPR where this poor band had, you know, since high school, these guys have been playing together for 27 years, and they're still chasing the record deal. And it's, like, affected their personal lives and all this. And I'm like,
well, yeah.
I'm like, man, you know, at some point, like, I know even people now who are in disillusion about how talented they are and trying to do their own music thing.
Right.
And like, dude, I hope you got a backup plan, because when you know, like 40, it's like,
when, yeah, I remember figure something else out. When we were doing the casting and I was working at Public Storage, and this guy, I think, actually, ironically, I think he was an electrician, and that's what I'm doing now. he came in and he's talking to me about life. And he's like, what's your backup plan? And I'm like, huh? I don't have a backup plan.
I'm gonna get a 30 pack. Yeah. I'll be backed up against the wall.
But, yeah, but I mean, yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Well, it's like I said, you can set out for greatness, but if you have to stop by all right. And if you don't get past all right,
that's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah. But, they were talking about that on that documentary. Like, basically you can do what you set your mind out to do. But the idea was like, and I'm taking it with like trying to do this podcast thing. It's like, focus on what you want. Like, I'm like, and I actually sat down last night and today and kind of like just meditated on it. Like, I want to, you know, try to start interviewing people and, you know, get people talking and just have fun with it, you know, mm-hmm. see where it goes. And they were talking about how many people have focused on what they want to do, they're not sure exactly the path to get there, but if you stay focused on it,
the path will come.
Yeah. One guy was talking about, okay, you drive from New York to LA at night in your car and your headlights can only see like 30 feet in front of you. But if you keep driving, you're going to be in LA.
True. Yeah.
It's just cool, man.
Yep. True that.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. I don't know how long this was. It don't really matter. So, we're all done, and rock and roll, hoochie coo.
Rock and roll.